This is an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
If you are a fan of American football and watch this year's Super Bowl Sunday TV coverage on the 11th of February 2024, you may have noticed that one of the ads featured in the ad breaks was for Guided Frame, an app on Google Pixel phones to help us as visually impaired people take photographs like everyone else does. Well, joining me now here on RNIB Connect Radio is Adam Morse, the filmmaker behind that ad, who just happens to be blind too. Hello, Adam, and welcome to RNIB Connect Radio.
Hi, Toby. Pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Of course, we're going to talk about that Super Bowl ad. But before we do, Adam, I wondered, how did you get into filmmaking? And I think it was whilst you were working as a production assistant on the film City of Life that you noticed that things were going wrong with your eyesight, which must have been sort of quite a bit of a terrible time for you at that time.
Yeah, it was a very... hard time going through the sight loss initially and having to wait for the diagnosis to understand what was happening. You know, that the not knowing, I think, was the most difficult part, because it did take months before, you know, the tests were, you know, led to the diagnosis of LHON. And, you know, even the period following that, having to readjust to being a blind person, of course, that comes with the struggles, like, you know yourself and obviously many of the listeners. But the way I got started making films was in my bedroom as a kid. You know, I was a child with a webcam and, you know, Windows Movie Maker on my PC, just, you know, playing around with friends who would come over, doing silly short sketch films and just being creative and having fun. And that was from a really young age, maybe kind of as early as 12 years old, I was starting to make films. And it wasn't until I left secondary school and started looking for work in the film industry as an assistant when I got the opportunity to be a runner on a feature film in Dubai, City of Life, like you mentioned. And it was out there where I first started noticing the early signs of deterioration in my eyesight.
I suppose some people might have thought, well, that's it, your filmmaking career is over, now you can't see as well as you did. But you decided to carry on, and you did make a short film called Window, not only to prove to everyone, but also to prove to your brother that you could make films as a blind person.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, also to prove to myself, if I'm really honest, I had to prove it as much to myself as anyone else, because... I mean, you know, like you say, it's much easier to accept defeat in that it's maybe not, doesn't seem as possible to pursue a career as a filmmaker, as a blind person, because of the lack of people who are doing it or have done it. And in fact, there was no reference for me of anybody that had done the things that I aspired to do in the business as a blind filmmaker. So I actually did have that brief kind of acceptance, or I resigned myself to the fact that maybe I won't make films, maybe I'm not going to be an actor, maybe I'm not going to actually have the chance to, you know, live my dreams and be a storyteller and an artist. And I kind of put it on the shelf and shelved those dreams, thinking maybe there's something else I have to do with my life and find a different profession to explore. And it was definitely a process of me taking the time to, like I say, readjust, but also do the shadow work, I call it, you know, that daily mental workshopping in my own mind to actually make a consistent effort to think about things differently and reprogram my brain in my thought processes of not focusing on the limitations, not allowing my mind to go into those negative, dark, cynical places where, kind of by default, you can easily get dragged to.
Was there something that sort of made you think, I could carry on as a filmmaker who's blind?
Yeah, and I think that was just simply my own relationship with my brother as much as anybody else. I was going to say my relationship with myself, but having to actually address how I would be able to live a life where I could, you know, be happy and or at least content in knowing that I've done everything I could to to make it a reality. And, you know, my father once told me that in life you regret the things that you don't do. You don't regret the things you do. You regret the things you don't do. You know, opportunities missed or paths not taken. So, you know, that was ringing in my ears, and I kept thinking about those words and that sentiment. So I thought, well, you know, I've got to give it a shot. I've got to try and push and prove that it is possible to become a filmmaker, you know, with blindness. And my brother, you know, who went blind with me at the same time, the same diagnosis, same condition, LHON, 3 years younger than me, I wanted to set an example for him. I wanted to inspire him because, you know, we both obviously took it hard, but, you know, him being younger than me, I think took it harder at the time. And so I wanted to, like I say, you know, give him that example of what was possible. And, you know, to this day, I still want to try and, you know, blaze a trail for the next generation of blind artists to use me as a reference point that I never had.
And obviously you did prove that success, not only with Lucid, which was released on Amazon in 2020, where you won a Best Director at the Golden Movie Awards. And your Super Bowl sort of Google guided frame ad was not only shown during probably the most watched TV night in America, but probably the most watched TV night across the world, but also had millions of sort of views on YouTube too. How did the sort of ad come about? And were you given a sort of free hand in the story and the look and feel of the ad, which does sort of showcase a blind man getting on with his life and using the Guided Frame app to document his life like everyone else does?
Well, how it came about, they reached out to me directly and knew that they wanted to make a film that was authentic to the blind experience. And they thought that the best way of achieving this was to work with somebody that had a personal experience, someone who lives with blindness. And you know, there's not many blind filmmakers who are established, you know, and like myself right now, who, you know, have that credibility and visibility online, you know, in the press and the media. So obviously I was on the radar, and then they reached out directly and said, we want to do this with you. And it was actually very collaborative, you know, in terms of how the thing came together conceptually and stylistically, how it was executed. It was all very collaborative. The world of advertising is very different to my real bread and butter, which is making, you know, feature films and narrative films. When you make films as a director independently, you know, you have a lot of autonomy in, you know, how you translate your vision on the screen. But, you know, with advertising and commercials, you know, there's a lot more people involved, you know, briefs to follow and sort of, you know, brand values to keep in mind and et cetera, et cetera. So yeah, there was, you know, a lot of really talented people that I got to work with on making that Super Bowl film. And the one thing where I felt like I was very empowered to put my stamp on it was in actually being able to create that forced perspective of translating the blind point of view. And so, you know, there was complete trust by everybody involved, from, you know, the creative labs team at Google to Miami, the agency and production company Smuggler, and everybody involved who just kind of lent on me to try and, you know, portray that POV. And I always knew that I wanted to impair the lens physically to make it real, because I feel like, for me, even when I had full sight, you know, the first 19 years of my life before I went blind, and I could fully appreciate aesthetical imagery, that the human brain knows if you're watching something artificial, no matter how sophisticated the CGI or the computer generated effects can be. There's just something in us that knows if you're watching something that's not organic or real on the screen. So I didn't want it to just be something that was created on a computer. I wanted to actually really impair the lens. And so I had done something on The Window, my short that you mentioned before, my first kind of professional film, that short film where I had put cling film, you know, saran wrap over the lens of the camera to kind of create a drunk POV. And so when I was thinking about that, I was like, okay, well, maybe you could do something else. And then see the inspiration came for using Vaseline, petroleum jelly, and we tested it and it worked tremendously well in the tests. Everybody was really pleased with the results, and it definitely created the desired effect in making it more visceral and real, because you're watching something real of an impaired point of view.
I think it's great to have that perspective and for people to see that as well. How does it work for you on set when you're making an ad or working on a feature film?
So I'm very, very collaborative and open as a collaborator, where I like to be all ears for ideas, no matter where they come from or who they come from. And obviously it's my job as a director to filter those ideas and, you know, hone in on my own instincts artistically and finalize and pick the taste choices that, you know, appeal to me, that I think will be the most interesting ways to, you know, go about an idea or an approach to a scene or a camera shot or whatever it is. When it comes to, you know, directing the actors, I know that process very well, with my background being a performer myself. Before I lost my eyesight and I left school, I was in the theater working on stage as an actor, and I'm still an actor to this day. So, you know, I can communicate that process to an actor in terms of helping them, you know, navigate, you know, an emotional journey and helping them through that process. But when it comes to, yeah, directing the camera, because I have a little bit of partial peripheral sight left remaining, if I put my face to a giant screen and kind of move my head around through the corner of my eye, I can still appreciate an image somewhat and then actually, yeah, have an influence over the framing and the composition of the frame, of, you know, how I want to position the camera, directing the movement of the camera, you know, swinging different lenses. Yeah, I'm ironically very, very visual filmmaker, despite being blind, on the blind spectrum.
I think there's also a thing about, you know, I think we, as everyone says, and I think we're all, you know, we all know this, that we use our other senses. And I think you can also pick up from not only is what people are saying, but to sort of as an atmosphere, or you can pick up on something and know that something's happening.
Absolutely. I think that's something that, I mean, you've absolutely nailed it there, because a lot of people, you know, comment on, oh, well, you know, your hearing must be sharper and to hear things. And that's true. Yes, of course, you know, as you know, your other physical kind of senses do heighten and more sensitive to, you know, hearing and taste, touch, whatever. But it's not just about hearing what the best take is or hearing if somebody's telling the truth as an actor and is genuine and hearing if they're really present and connected. You know, it's about, yeah, your third eye, your mind's eye, being able to download from your imagination. But really, it's about instinct. I think the power of instinct and being able to pick up on an atmosphere, like you say, and vibrationally be in tune with the frequency of an environment. And that tells you so much more than I think your eyes can.
Adam, as you say, you're not just a filmmaker, you're also an actor, amongst other things. And you were in the Apple Plus TV series C, and maybe a bit of a blind action star in that one, doing your own stunts. Real equality there.
Yeah, I had a great opportunity there to, you know, do a few episodes as an actor on the show and play a bad guy, which is always fun. I love playing bad guys. And yeah, you know, kidnap or you know, abduct one of the heroes and end up having some fight scenes. And so, yeah, the training was, you know, the sword fighting, the horse riding, the stunts. I went in with the confidence that I could do it, you know, trying to show people around me that the stigma that's associated with blindness really does not apply anymore. Whenever it did, I mean, in terms of that negative stigma of, you know, everybody from the blind spectrum being painted with the same brush or put in the same box. And so for me, I really wanted to insist that I would do my own stunts, and so that, you know, people can see me as a blind person on screen doing things that maybe haven't been done before by a blind performer, like riding horse and fighting and doing all of these stunts. And so that was important to me, again, to prove to myself as much as everybody else. And, you know, again, just set an example and try and, you know, reshape that whole kind of paradigm of blindness and disability stigma.
And we do seem to see a lot more disabled and blind and partially sighted people on the big screen, the small screen, and on stage as well. Do you think that for blind and partially sighted people who want to get into the film, the TV, the creative arts industry, that things are getting better for people?
Yeah, I think we're going in the right direction. I think, you know, there's still issues that need to be addressed when it comes to representation. I believe that although, you know, people may have the right intentions, decision makers, let's say, there are some that, you know, kind of use this as a box ticking exercise when it comes to hiring. And although that can be obviously a really good thing for people from the community to get their chance to be seen or to work, it's a double-edged sword, because, you know, if you're given an opportunity when you don't deserve it, and or you maybe you're not ready for that opportunity, but it comes to you and you because of, you know, a mandate or a quota that needs to be met, then, you know, maybe, you know, the community isn't going to be represented in the right way. And again, it goes back to that stigma and the kind of stereotype, you know. And for me, I want to change that. I want people to understand that there are so many, you know, differently abled, you know, abilified superheroes out there who may not, you know, they may live with some form of condition or impairment, but as artists, they're definitely not disabled in any way. In fact, they're, like I say, different. They have different process, and they're actually enabled to do amazing things and showcase their talents. And so I think, you know, it's a case of making sure that people, you know, from the disability community get the right training and support, mentorship, so that when the opportunities do come, they're ready and that they can shine and, you know, be a you know, a great example and deliver quality work and let the work speak for itself, so that decision makers can start thinking differently about the disabled community when it comes to, you know, hiring practices and, you know, the opportunities that are available to people out there. And so for me, yeah, my foundation that I've set up, Crystal Vision Foundation, the whole purpose of the organization is to give mentorship to the people out there who do want to break into film and TV, who live with blindness. And ultimately, I want to scale the organization to support people, to support everybody from the disability community, not just blind people, who aspire to be in the arts in general, not just film and TV, you know, every kind of art form out there, and, you know, help them get discovered and seen.
Adam, if listeners would like to find out about the foundation and follow you and the work that you do, are you on social media? Can people follow you there? And is there a website that people can go to?
Absolutely, yeah. So you can follow me at the Morse Force, and the foundation is at Crystal Vision Foundation. So, you know, approachable and reachable. If anybody out there listening to us right now wants to get in touch, please feel free. I'm always here to try and help people in the community. If anybody does want to reach out, they can, you know, send me a message on Instagram at the Morse Force, at the Morse, like my name, Morse, Morse, and then Force, Force.
Well, that's fantastic, Adam, and thank you so much for chatting with me here on RNIB Connect Radio and telling me more about not only your filmmaking, your acting, but also about that fantastic Google Super Bowl ad too.
Thanks, Toby. My pleasure.